Welcome to the deep dive, everybody. Today we're going to be looking at, well, something that's causing a lot of tension in Maryland: proposed cuts to the Developmental Disabilities Administration budget, the DDA budget. And we've got a lot of sources for this one: news articles, legislative meeting minutes, reports from advocate rallies.
It's gonna be a lot to dig through.
It is. It's a big one, a complex issue, real human impact. So let's dive in and see what we can uncover.
It's definitely a hot topic right now, that's for sure. Generating a lot of debate.
Yeah.
And having all these different sources,
Oh, yeah.
cover everything from the nitty-gritty financials
Yeah.
to the personal stories
Right.
of those who might be affected. I think that speaks volumes about the complexity of this whole situation.
Absolutely. So to get us started, we know Maryland's facing a $3 billion budget deficit,
Right.
and Governor Moore has proposed $2 billion in cuts across the board.
It's a lot of cuts.
Yeah. And one of the agencies that's been targeted is the DDA, with a proposed $200 million reduction. So before we get into the specifics of where those cuts are coming from, can you just give us a sense of, like, what kind of impact that $200 million represents?
Oh, it's a big impact.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, the DDA's budget. It's substantial because it supports, around 20,500 Marylanders with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
Wow.
So you're talking about, vital services, things like Medicaid waivers that help cover the cost of care,
Yeah.
financial support for families, resources that help individuals live as independently as possible. So you're taking a big chunk, $200 million, out of their funding.
Yeah.
It definitely raises a lot of concerns about the impact on those essential services.
Okay, so we're not just talking about, like, abstract numbers here. This is, like, people's access to the support that they need.
Exactly.
Right.
Real people's lives.
Yeah. One of the proposed cuts involves reducing the rate increase for providers from 3% to 1%. What does that mean for the, like, people on the ground, the people actually, like, providing the care?
It's a big concern for, folks in the caregiving field
Yeah.
because essentially it means less money for those who are providing direct support. We could be talking about organizations,
Yeah.
individuals, and that can translate to a number of things.
Yeah.
Potentially pay cuts for staff,
Right.
maybe a reduced capacity to even serve the number of individuals in need.
Yeah, and that's where those personal stories from our sources become, like, so important.
Right.
We're seeing quotes from people like Matt Rice, the executive director of People on the Go Maryland, who's expressing concern that his staff, many of whom are single parents, could be facing pay cuts. It's like a reminder that these budget decisions, like, have this ripple effect. It's not just, like, contained within the agency
Oh,
itself.
absolutely. It really underscores how interconnected the system is.
Right.
If providers are getting squeezed financially, it can impact the quality of care that they're able to provide, the
Right.
availability of care, and ultimately it affects, the very people the DDA is designed to help.
Exactly. And, it's not just the provider rates, right? The governor's proposal also includes eliminating geographic differential rates. Can you just quickly explain what those are and why their removal is causing so much anxiety?
Sure. So basically, geographic differential rates, they're meant to account for the different costs of providing services
Oh, okay.
across different regions.
Makes sense.
So you have places like Montgomery and Prince George's counties, for instance, which have higher costs of living.
Right.
They currently receive additional funding
Okay.
to help providers kind of meet those extra expenses.
Yeah.
So eliminating that difference, it could put a strain on providers,
Yeah.
especially in those higher cost areas,
Right.
potentially forcing some to reduce services, maybe even shut down,
Wow.
leaving vulnerable residents, without the support they depend on.
And I think, we have a quote here from Ande Kolp, the executive director of the ARC Maryland, and it really, I think, kind of sums up the anxiety around that. She said that it's, quote, kicking the legs out from under these providers. So strong words, but I think they reflect the severity of the situation.
So are all the proposed cuts, focused on these kinds of core funding mechanisms?
Not entirely. There's also another area that's being targeted, and that is what's called low-intensity support services. So these are services that are designed to kind of provide early intervention and hopefully prevent, more serious needs from developing later on.
So things like short-term in-home care or accessibility modifications,
Exactly.
respite care for
Yeah, like
families.
that. It seems kind of counterintuitive to cut, like, programs that are designed to keep people from needing more intensive and potentially more expensive care in the future.
Well, and that's the argument you see a lot of advocates making, you know. They're saying these cuts might appear to save money in the short term, but in the long run, they could actually end up costing the state more.
Right.
Because, you know, individuals might be forced to rely on more intensive services.
Yeah.
Because they lack that early support.
Yeah, it does. It feels very much like, you know, one of those penny-wise, pound-foolish situations where, like, we're so focused on the, like, immediate cost savings that we're kind of missing the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
The long-term, you know, both financial and human consequences.
Right.
And speaking of the human element, it's, like, striking how many of our sources really highlight the personal stories of those who are going to be affected by these proposed cuts. I'm thinking specifically about Mika Caldwell. She's a mother of a son with Down syndrome who relies on DDA services.
Right.
And she shared, you know, her fears that, you know, these cuts would severely limit access to, like, crucial resources for families like hers.
It's a powerful reminder that, you know, these cuts aren't just about numbers on a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
This is about people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, the ability of individuals with disabilities to really thrive and the capacity of their families to support them.
Right.
It's directly tied to these services that the DDA provides.
And then we have Tavon Jackson. He's from the ARC of Baltimore. And he spoke at a rally against the cuts.
Right.
And he talked about the fear and uncertainty that these cuts are creating. He's worried that people with disabilities are going to lose the opportunities to, like, achieve their full potential, you know?
Yeah.
And his quote, I think, was really powerful. He said, "A change in DD services will hurt people with disabilities. Losing those services means other people won't have the opportunity to be successful. I'm scared for the future."
Yeah. Yeah, and it's that sense of vulnerability
that
really comes through in his words.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the potential for these cuts to basically unravel these support systems that have allowed people to make progress, gain independence.
Right.
And it really makes you wonder what happens to those folks
if
those supports are taken away.
It's a question we need to be asking.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, like, the individuals with disabilities who are being affected, right? Like, remember Matt Rice's anecdote about his staff member, the single parent, who might face a pay cut?
Yeah.
If the provider rate reductions go through, you know, that speaks to a much wider impact.
Yeah, it does. You know, the consequences ripple outward.
Yeah.
If providers can't afford to pay their staff, you know, a decent wage, a livable wage.
Right.
We risk losing dedicated caregivers.
Yeah.
And it just exacerbates the challenges that individuals with disabilities and their families are already facing.
Right. And then it becomes this, like, you know, cycle.
Absolutely.
Where the quality of care suffers because, you know, people are having to leave because they can't afford to stay.
Exactly.
You know, one of the, like, most kind of striking things from one of the sources was during a legislative meeting, the actuary there compared the DDA funding structure to a Jenga tower.
Oh, wow.
He was saying that, you know, if you start pulling out too many pieces, the whole thing's going to collapse.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good analogy for, like, you know, how fragile the system is.
It really captures that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a, you know, one program here, one service there.
Right.
It's all interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And any kind of disruption to one part can have these unintended consequences across the whole system.
Right.
So it really highlights the need for, like, a more holistic approach to these budget decisions.
Yeah.
Where you're not just looking at, you know, saving money right now.
Right.
But you're thinking about, okay, how do we make this work for the long haul?
The long-term sustainability.
Yeah.
So we've heard a lot about, like, you know, the concerns.
Right.
And warnings about the potential negative impacts.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the other side?
Yeah.
Like, what is the state saying about this?
Well, so the Moore administration is arguing that these cuts, they're necessary
for cost containment.
Right.
And that it's really essential for creating a sustainable budget model for the DDA.
Okay.
And they point to the fact that spending has grown significantly at the DDA in recent years as evidence that, you know, the current trajectory is not sustainable.
Right.
So they're saying we have to do something.
Right. And they're also saying that, you know, they've been strategic in their approach.
Right.
They're trying to minimize the disruptions to essential services.
Yeah.
Aline Grady, the secretary of the Department of Budget and Management, even said that, you know, they took a lot of options off the table because they were worried about the impact. So
they're
trying to, you know, be careful.
Right.
But obviously, advocates are pushing back.
Yeah.
They're saying any cuts to the DDA are going to harm vulnerable individuals and their families, you know? And their point is, like, the state shouldn't be balancing its budget on the backs of people who rely on these services.
Exactly. And they bring up a really important point, that a lot of that budget growth that we were just talking about was actually driven by factors that were outside the DDA's control.
Right, like the minimum wage hikes.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's not necessarily that they've become less efficient.
Right.
It's just like the cost of doing business has gone up.
Exactly. And that's a big point of contention. You know, advocates are arguing that the DDA is being unfairly targeted here.
Right.
You know, they're facing cuts when maybe other agencies haven't had to face that same level of scrutiny.
Yeah, it feels very, I don't know, like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
You know, like, the state is trying to, you know, be responsible.
Yeah.
Like, they've got this deficit. They've got to find ways to reduce spending.
Right.
But, you know, every decision they make seems to be generating all this pushback.
Yeah. It highlights this real tension.
Yeah.
Between fiscal responsibility. You know, we have to be smart with our money.
Right.
And our commitment to supporting folks who really need these services.
Yeah.
So where do we draw the line,
right,
you know, between cutting costs and protecting the most vulnerable members of our society?
These are big questions.
Yeah, they are.
And I don't think there are any easy answers.
No.
But it seems like a situation where, like, we really need to, like, have open dialogue.
Right.
And be willing to, like, you know, see all sides.
Absolutely. Listen to everyone's perspective.
So as we kind of, you know, move into the final part of our deep dive here, I think it's important to, like, zoom out a little bit, look beyond just the, you know, immediate budget numbers,
right,
and consider the larger political context.
The bigger picture.
Yeah. And our sources have revealed some, like, interesting dynamics at play.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, for one thing, we're seeing, like, bipartisan concern from legislators about these cuts.
Yeah. Both the House Appropriations Committee Chair Ben Barnes and the Senate Budget and Taxation Committee Chair Guy Gazzone, they've both expressed reservations, which suggests that, you know, the governor might be facing some pushback.
Yeah.
Even from members of his own party.
And then there's that, like, $350 million shortfall.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was discovered in the DDA budget back in December.
Yeah.
Attributed to, you know, errors in cost projections and problems with a new billing system.
Yeah, that's definitely added another layer of complexity to the situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's raised questions about, you know, how the DDA is managing its finances.
Right.
And it's made some legislators even more hesitant about approving cuts.
Yeah, they want to make sure that, like, you know, the problems aren't going to get worse.
Exactly. They want assurances that any cuts aren't going to make things worse.
Lead to more unintended consequences.
Right.
So it seems like the governor's kind of, like, you know, caught in the middle here.
Yeah, he's got pressure from all sides.
You know, you got advocates who are, like, fiercely protective of these services.
Right.
You got legislators who are, like, really concerned about the potential impact. And now these questions about financial management. So, like, where do we go from here? What are, like, some possible outcomes?
Well, one possibility is that, you know, the legislature just says no.
To cuts.
Yeah.
Okay.
They reject the cuts, force the governor to find savings somewhere else.
That would be a pretty big victory for advocates.
It would. But, of course, then the state has to figure out, you know, how to address that budget deficit.
Right. So it would kind of just shift the problem, put the focus on other agencies, other programs.
Right. So then the question becomes, okay, where else can we cut?
Right. What other scenarios could play out?
Another possibility is that the legislature approves some of the cuts.
Okay.
But not all of them.
Okay.
Maybe they restore funding to some programs that they see as, you know, really essential.
So it's kind of like a compromise?
Yeah, a middle ground.
Okay.
Recognizing that, okay, we do need to save money, but we also need to protect these vital services.
Is there any chance that, like, you know, the cuts just go through as is?
It's possible.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, considering how much opposition there is from both advocates and lawmakers, it seems less likely.
Okay.
But, of course, this is all, you know, part of the process.
Right.
There's a lot of back and forth.
Room for negotiation.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to say for sure what will happen.
And so for our listener who's been, like, you know, following along with us on this journey.
Right.
why should they care about this, even if they're not, like, you know, directly affected by these cuts?
Well, I think, you know, this situation really highlights the importance of civic engagement.
Yeah.
You know, this is a public process.
Right.
And as citizens, we have a right to participate.
Yeah.
And I would even say a responsibility to get involved.
Right.
So is this is something you care about? If you want to support individuals with disabilities.
Yeah.
Now's the time to reach out to your representative.
Yeah.
Let them know what you think.
Make your voice heard.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, even for folks who don't live in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
this situation raises these, like, you know, bigger questions about how we as a society, how we prioritize the needs of the most vulnerable.
Absolutely. It really forces us to look at our values.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do we believe that everyone, regardless of their abilities,
yeah.
deserves the support they need
to live a good life,
to thrive?
Yeah.
Or do we let budget constraints dictate, you know, who gets left behind?
Those are some pretty profound questions.
They are. And they're questions that, you know, go way beyond this specific budget debate.
This is a really powerful way to frame the issue.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to think about, like, the kind of society we want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what role we each play.
Exactly. It's about all of us.
Well, this has been a deep dive in the truest sense of the word.
It has.
You know, we've explored this budget situation.
All the complex.
Yeah. We've heard from the people, you know, whose lives are being affected.
Real people, real stories.
And we've really wrestled with some, like, fundamental questions about, you know, what we value as a society.
Right.
It's been a journey.
It has.
We've gone from the, you know, like, the 30,000 foot view to, like, the, you know, the really nitty gritty detail.
Right. Trying to understand a very complicated situation.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think we necessarily came up with all the answers.
No.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Sometimes the questions are more important.
I think, you know, if our listener is left with a sense of, like, you know, wanting to learn more,
yeah.
wanting to stay engaged, you know, wanting to advocate for the world they want to live in.
That's a success.
Then we've done our job.
Absolutely.
So thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
And until next time, stay curious.